All right, on the subject of modesty. You guys can relax a little bit tonight. We're not going to get too intense tonight. The worst is still coming. I know this is a touchy subject, and I promise you that I am going to say some things that some people sitting in this room will not appreciate, okay? I know that will be the case. You're gonna have to forgive me for it, but I'm gonna say what I believe to be true. I'm going to base it on certain facts. I'm going to let you judge. But tonight, we're going to do some more foundational stuff where we're not going to get overly specific. A few of you guys were not here last week, so we'll just take 3 minutes to cover what we learned last week. First of all, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, let's read that verse. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We pointed out last week that this word modest is not even in the Greek the exact meaning of what we usually mean when we talk about a girl in modest clothes. The Greek word is a word that is used for orderly or, orderly. I can't remember the exact details on it, but orderly would be a possible translation of the Greek word. So, orderly clothes. You can kind of get the idea of where that word is going when it's used about clothes, because clothes aren't specifically disorderly. I don't believe that this verse is telling girls not to dress sloppy. I agree that girls shouldn't dress sloppy, but I don't think this verse is talking about that. The word modesty there means something further than just looking like a weirdo. It, however, does not necessarily have the full meaning of what we mean when we're talking about modest clothes. When we're talking about modest clothes, we're talking about clothes that keep a girl in a proper place towards boys. That doctrine is taught very clearly in the scriptures, but the word translated modest in this verse is not exactly where we get all that information from. Shamefacedness is a great word. That is more along the meaning of modesty than the word that is actually translated modesty here. However, this is one of the verses in the scriptures, and my memory slips me if there are any more, actually. But this is one place in the scripture where girls are actually told to wear clothes. We'll go over that tonight. Why do we wear clothes? Do we have legitimate scriptural proof to teach us that we should wear clothes? There isn't a lot in the Bible about it. But this is our basis verse, our starting verse. So what we learned last week basically was, girls are the last thing that God created, the prettiest thing that he created. It was the crown of his creation, from a man's standpoint anyway. When God created girls, he did his finishing touch on the world. He created the most beautiful thing that we know on earth. We learned last week that girls will never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, lose their attraction to guys. No, not if you have the prettiest one on earth. No, not if you're old and decrepit. No, not if you're on your deathbed. No, girls will never lose their attraction to guys. And one of the things that we found to prove that was Solomon and the fact that he had 1,000 of them. And the fact that he had the fact that he had hundreds of them already and continued to get married proved that every girl that he saw was another pretty thing that he thought would help him feel better. Okay, guys do feel that way about girls, and I don't care what they tell you, this is the way guys relate to girls in the flesh. Okay, David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, had at least 6 wives at that time, any one of which was probably begging for his attention. But he went and took another girl. Why did he do that? Because in spite of the fact that David was married, other girls on earth were still pretty to him. And we also learned that no matter whether or not girls listen to the scriptures and dress modestly or not, guys actually are under a command from God and have the ability through the gospel of Christ to control their emotions and feelings towards girls to the point that they can relate properly towards all girls, married or not. Whether the guy is married, whether he's happy, whether he's got a pretty or an ugly girl, it doesn't matter who you are as a Christian. You have the ability to relate to girls correctly, even if they're walking around in front of you naked. Now, there are certain specific things that a guy absolutely has to do to maintain that level of purity towards girls. And there are some things that become no-nos. And one of the things that we learned was from Job, he refused to look at virgins or think about them. Obviously, when he uses the word look and think there, he is not talking about actually seeing them with his eyes or actually thinking a thought about them. He's talking about something slightly more in-depth than that. He's talking about something that if you girls are ignorant about, you can remain ignorant, but every guy in the room knows exactly what he's talking about. He refused to do those things, because what's going to happen if you do those things? Well, the girl's going to attract you, probably even if she's ugly. Now, I don't know if there is such a thing as an ugly girl. I tend to doubt it myself. But that was basically what we learned last week. Why do we wear clothes? Why do we wear clothes? It's funny sometimes to be on the internet and see the things that some people say that have absolutely nothing to do but sit on the internet and play. Here was a question, I won't get the exact quotations on this, but on it was probably Wiki Answers or something like that, I forget. Some fool proposed the question to the world, why do we wear clothes? And he went on for a paragraph to explain his point of how much better society would be if we didn't. And he used dogs as an example of what we would be better if we were like. He said, the dogs don't wear any clothes. I mean, wouldn't we be better off if we were like them and be just free? Well, some of the people who had a little bit more sense than this questioner wrote back and asked some further questions to him about if he would like society to actually be like dogs, because they said, I don't really want everybody coming around smelling my butt. Anyway, why do we wear clothes? By the way, dogs actually do. You know, of all the things that God created, humanity is one of the few things that don't have clothes in nature. Most of nature is way further clothed than human beings are. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 says, speaking of Adam and Eve, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Okay, that's as far as we'll read there. Well, let's just catch one more verse quickly. Verse 21 of the same chapter says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. So this is where clothes came from. Before anybody on earth existed besides two people, there was just two of them. They were living in paradise. I think temperatures were probably about 89 degrees. They had no clothes. It was beautiful. If any of you guys were in a situation like that, alone with your wife, you'd probably go without clothes too. They had everything made. It was just the perfect situation. But God gave them instructions about a specific tree in the garden and told them not to eat of it. And they did. Now, what changed between the time before they had eaten of the tree and after they had eaten of the tree was the fact they had eaten of the tree. That's it. Okay, they didn't all of a sudden shed their fur. There wasn't a new baby born, that now there was a third person in the world looking at them. Space aliens didn't come down from the sky and start making fun of them because they weren't wearing clothes. The only thing that changed was that they had disobeyed God. And if you will, look through the scriptures on the subject of clothes, 90%, I think, of the reference in the scriptures to clothes concerns sin. Okay? This is a very important point to establish for the subject of modesty, because the subject of modesty relates to a very specific aspect of our relationship towards each other. The aspect of clothes themselves relates in our relationship to God. Because the nakedness that we own as human beings wouldn't be nakedness in the same sense that it is today if we were not sinners. You'll notice a couple of things that happened in this chapter, or in this passage we read. Adam and Eve already sewed themselves clothes because they felt naked. Now, we don't know just exactly what their clothes were like, and they maybe weren't very modest. It's hard to say exactly what they were wearing. But they had already done what they felt needed to be done to accomplish the purpose of covering themselves. They were embarrassed to death about the fact they had no clothes on, and they went and fixed it. But the moment that God came down and walked in the garden, they hid. And God calls to them and says, "Where art thou?" And they answer, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, the fact of the matter was, they weren't naked anymore. In fact, I guarantee you, whatever they were wearing, they were more clothed than many Christians dress today in their poorest dress. And they went and hid themselves, saying they were naked. Now, what was actually naked about them? See, their nakedness wasn't the fact at that moment that they weren't wearing clothes. It was the fact that they had sinned. And something changed inside of them that they were now absolutely and utterly vulnerable before God. There was a protection that they had, which we would call innocency, that they had lost. You'll notice what God did for them. He does not say here in this passage, "I can help you get better fig leaves or more of them for a better piece of clothes." There was one answer. There was only one answer to get Adam and Eve unnaked again. There was only one answer. Their sin had to be dealt with. That was the only answer. And so what God did, the passage doesn't tell us, but we know it. We know it from the rest of Scripture. What God did was the first sacrifice was performed as an answer for sin. Because it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Where did God get these skins from? You know, there was no death. People weren't eating animals. There was no leather shop you could go to buy animal skins from. Nothing on earth had ever died yet. But God himself performed a sacrifice there with Adam and Eve. He did something to atone for their sins. It was the first ever picture of a sacrifice that was pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that was going to come and take away the sin of the world. And after the sacrifice, God took the skins of the animals that he sacrificed, and he himself sewed clothes for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them. Now, ever since that day, humanity has worn clothes almost entirely. Even down to the most heathen tribes you will ever go to anywhere that have no civilization whatsoever, there have only been, that I am aware of, a couple places on the face of the earth that has been reported that people wore nothing but jewelry. Almost every single place you go in all of the heathen world where the people are as debased as can be, they still wear at least a certain amount of clothes. It is built right into humanity because of our sin that we are naked. It is not because we are running around in front of boys and we're girls, or we're boys and we're running around in front of girls. It's not because we're running around in front of people that makes us feel naked. It is because we are sinful. It is because inside our conscience is guilty, and we don't even know why we are embarrassed about our nakedness, but we know we are. It's something that is built into our consciousness about ourselves. We know we are naked. The human race of the two that existed before the fall did not have that. As it said in the last verse of chapter 2, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This sense of sin completely permeates the human race, as I said. Let's read a verse in Revelation chapter 3, where clothes are referred to specifically about our spiritual state. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 we'll start with, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Now, how many of you guys have ever obeyed this verse that was written so many years ago to the Laodiceans? Is anybody in this room wearing the clothes that you got at Jesus' store? Ezra is. Can you tell me where to find that store? All right. Okay, so these clothes are not physical clothes. They're spiritual clothes that he's talking about. Now, this is what, as I'm saying, this is the number one reason that the human race wears clothes, is because of a sin problem. It is a simple fact that we feel the necessity to, and God holds it out as, I don't even know what I want to call it, if it's a symbol to us or if it's a what, but for some reason, spiritually, we need clothes. We have to wear them. They're a part of what we are as humans. We need them. And we are now, as humans, embarrassed about our nakedness. We're embarrassed. We wouldn't be embarrassed about our nakedness if we were not sinners. Is that the truth? How many of you guys believe me when I say that? Let me point out a couple of things that the scripture does not talk about, but that is obvious that anybody can see if you look around you. First of all, when a baby is born, do they quickly crawl under the covers and hide because they're naked? You know, it takes a child somewhere, usually between the ages of 5 and 10, to develop a sense of nakedness. Even in a society where people wear clothes. It takes a child between the ages of 5 and 10 somewhere to develop a sense of nakedness. And it's different with every child. Some children, it might even be later than they act. Why? Because it takes them that many years to come to a place of accountability for their sin, where they are a sinner by choice, not by birth. That's why. Because it takes them that long to come to a point where they are evil, they know they are evil, they are intentionally evil, and their conscience is defiled before God. And it is somewhere in that point when a sin consciousness comes on a child, that they also develop a consciousness about their body, that they are naked. If you look over the cultures of the world, you will find this to be an absolute fact. I don't believe, if you can disprove me, I'd like to hear your story. But I'm pretty sure if there is an exception to the rule, this is still a basic rule that you will find over the entire world, everywhere you go, that the amount of clothes that people wear are directly connected to their sense of sin. As nations go downhill and get further and further and further and further from the knowledge of God, what we call uncivilized people, for the most part, uncivilized people wear very few clothes. Why? Well, you say it's because they don't have sewing machines and cloth, and they don't know how. You know what? That's actually not the truth at all. Because in cold climates of the world, where uncivilized people were found, they wear clothes. Go find the Eskimos if you want. Those people wore more clothes than you've ever put on in a year's time, in one day. It's nothing to do with the abilities of the people that made them not wear clothes. It is the simple fact that a lack of a sense of shame, a lack of a sense of sin, a lack of a knowledge of God has taken away most of their inhibitions about nakedness. You will see it in cultures of civilized people. Today we are losing clothes in America. When did this start? It's actually been a basic 100 years that the clothes in America have started coming off the people. If you were to go back 100 years ago, for the most part, Americans had a very great sense of shame. And for the most part, Americans dressed. Now today, in the United States of America, things have gotten so bad that not just the world, but most of the church believes that it is okay to dress in almost nothing. If any of you girls would like a piece of clothes, you may borrow this, all right? This little cloth here right now will cover all the parts of your body that you need covered to be modest in front of men, in public, in the open, where anybody can see you. And guys, this is not a standard for the world. This is a standard for the church. Now, if you, depending on your size, this might be a little small for you. This is based off Nikki's size. This is based off what Nikki would wear, how much surface of her body would be covered if she went to the beach in the average clothes that a girl goes to the beach in. If any of you girls would like to change, you can take this into the bathroom with you and you can put this on. I don't know exactly what you're going to try to cover with it, but this is all you need, all right? Now, why in the United States of America is this acceptable right now? Well, we have completely lost a sense of sin in our country. You go into the churches, they don't preach against sin. There is no knowledge of holiness. The knowledge that we have of God is the same knowledge that people have of Santa. He's got toys for us. Now you go into countries where people are Muslim, for example, and they have a very, very, very strong sense of sin, what do? They dress like you've never seen anybody dress. Just two eye holes, that's all you get. Why? All over the world, the amount of clothes that people wear is directly connected to their sense of sin. Now, something that we should settle here to understand, to fully understand what we base modesty on, one of the things we need to understand is that we are not going to base it on the fact that your nakedness is sin. Okay? In the garden, God created man without clothes, and everything he did was good. He put him in the garden, and he was holy, and he had nothing on. To this day, people undress when they take a shower. Okay? Is it sin to be naked in the shower? No. Why? Well, you say nobody's in there. Besides myself, nobody can see. Okay, but actually the fact of the matter is the bulk of our wearing of clothes isn't just because of people. It is because we're naked. If wearing clothes was a moral obligation because nakedness was wrong, you'd need to wear them in the shower. You'd need to wear them in your bedroom. You would have to sew on a new pair before you took off an old pair, before it rotted off you or something. But clothes are not, it is not an absolute moral thing that people wear clothes. For example, if you go to the doctor can take your clothes off if he needs to. Okay, and that's okay. It's all right. It's okay if you hit him too, but it's all right if you don't have your clothes on. When a girl has a baby, she takes her clothes off. It doesn't really matter who's delivering the baby, male or female. In fact, and well, that's not even right, but some girls think that they need to invite the town over to do such a thing. But does the Bible say anything that would give us any indication that being naked in front of somebody else isn't utterly wicked? It does, actually. It gives one of the most awful descriptions that you could read of anywhere in Isaiah chapter 20. It says, in the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon, the king of Assyria, sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Ethiopians prisoners and the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Now, here is one of the most awful things that God ever did in the history of the world. You don't have to understand it. I'm sure what he did was what he was supposed to do. All right? But it was awful. Isaiah had to walk at least from his waist on down naked for 3 years for a sign against a wicked nation. Now, was he sinful when he did that? No. So then, if Isaiah could do that, why can't I? Well, the fact of the matter is, this is a very real question that we have to answer right at the outset. Why do we wear clothes? Because if clothes aren't absolutely a necessity morally to be right, then it's up to us to decide if we do or don't. Unless there's one thing that is the reason that we wear clothes. There's one simple thing. Because way, 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 way back in the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden, when there was just two people, God instituted it. That's why. Okay, and that is the only reason you as a human being need to know that you are supposed to wear clothes. Now, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 the fact that women are supposed to wear clothes, but that does not tell anything to us guys. Right? Now, there's actually numerous other scriptures in the Bible that speak in such a way as would indicate that we should wear clothes. We have the story of Noah, for example. when he got drunk and he took his clothes off and was laying in his tent, and his one son saw him and went and was bragging to the other kids about the fact that he had seen his dad naked in the tent. So the two other kids get a cloth and go to the tent, and they walk backwards so they can't see their dad, and they cover him up. And when Noah woke up and found out what was done, he curses his son that did the bragging and blesses the other two, basically. Why? If Noah didn't need to wear clothes, what's the issue here? By the way, that was all boys in that situation. Four boys. And those of you who think that it is okay to be half naked in front of people of the same sex, you need to go read your Bible. Okay, you won't find any distinction there. If you girls want to have a swim party at a swimming pool with only girls, you're going to wear your clothes just like you would if there were guys there. Same thing for guys. God never told guys you could undress if no girls were around. Actually, in what I already said, 90% of the verses that deal with clothes in the scriptures deal with them on a spiritual level. Adam did not need to dress for his wife. When God put clothes on Adam, there was no guy or girl there that shouldn't be seeing his nakedness. He still put clothes on him. There is not one single word in all of the scripture that would indicate anywhere that you are free to be undressed or immodest in front of people of the same sex. Anybody who is going to, for the necessity of the case, not have all their clothes on in front of people should treat guys and girls exactly the same way. Okay? It's okay if you go to a doctor. It doesn't matter if it's a male or a female. It's okay if you take your clothes off in front of a doctor. But it's not okay to undress just for the sake of not being clothed in front of anybody, male or female. Now, if anybody wants to disagree with that, if you want to teach the opposite, I don't mind if you teach it, but I do want you to get up here at the pulpit with your Bible open and show me why it is so. Okay? You have no business just believing it because you think so. Okay? That is not one of the things that God gave you. God did not give you the right to form judgments based on nothing. So if God instituted clothes in the Garden of Eden, and throughout scriptures, it was over and over and over and over again stated, you know, why we should wear clothes, the fact that we should wear clothes, the fact that our nakedness was shameful, and on and on and on. How many clothes should we wear? Is the question that we're actually dealing with. How many clothes and what kind of clothes? Now, if clothes are the normal requirement for people, then anything less than fully clothed would need proof that it is acceptable. Okay, let's just think of some things. Let's compare this to some certain things. If somebody were to tell you to do something, like, let's say, do the dishes. Brandon is the boss, and he says to one of his subjects, do the dishes. Wash the dishes. Now, should that person look at the pile of stuff there and say, I enjoy plates and silverware, but pots and pans are just a drag. I'm going to leave them. Is he right or wrong? Wrong. Okay, let's say you hired somebody to paint your house. And the painter comes to the house, and he starts figuring it out, and he says, yep, I'll paint your house for $1,000. And so you hire him, and he comes and he paints the front wall, and he paints the back wall, and he leaves the two side walls unpainted. Did he do what he was supposed to do? No. But was he supposed to skip the windows? Or was he supposed to paint them? Okay, he was supposed to skip the windows. Was there anything else on the house he was supposed to skip? Probably. Like maybe the house number, possibly the mailbox. There could be any numbers of things. But everything on the house that he was supposed to skip, he should have a reason for skipping. Not just because. Just because isn't a good enough reason. Or because paint is too expensive to paint the long wall. Or whatever. He needs to have a reason to skip anything that he's going to skip, okay? So supposing you want to hire somebody to carpet your floor. What if the people who carpeted this room carpeted all the way up except a corner of this room over here, 8 by 8. 8 feet by 8 feet in that corner, they just left uncarpeted. Would they be right or wrong? Okay, well, if we asked them to carpet this whole room and they left that 8x8 section uncarpeted, it doesn't really matter what their reason for doing it, they would be wrong. All right? Now, if we had previously discussed, that's going to be where we put the table for the kids to eat. We don't want carpet there. Then, okay, fine. Now we know. Okay, this is an exception. What if I ask somebody to mow my lawn? Which spots on the lawn should he legitimately skip?
Flower bed.
Flower bed? Flower bed, why? Okay, I think that would be a legitimate point to skip the flower bed, but okay. So now we look at the lawn. Oh, there's a flower bed here. I'm going to go around the flowers. If you're ignorant, you ask questions. You know, you don't just assume things. So if the lawn is supposed to be mowed and you have questions if you're supposed to mow the flower bed or not, maybe you're a little dumb, but just go ahead and ask, okay? It's not a bad idea to establish whether you should or shouldn't if you don't know. But let's suppose that next to the flower bed, he just skipped a little circle. Because, well, the mower ran out of gas and you would have to go buy more gas, or who knows why. He didn't finish the job. What if I asked somebody to weed the garden and they skipped the carrots because it was too hard? I wouldn't weed the carrots myself. Did he do the job? Okay, now listen, let me tell you something, guys. How many clothes should you wear is going to be based just like these questions. If God told you to dress, if God told you to wear clothes, then every single part of your body that you don't put under clothes, you better have a reason for it. Okay? That's a fact. Simple as that. That's how we come to our understanding of clothes. We can go through the scriptures and we can find all sorts of things, very obvious. You read through the scriptures and people could see. That means they didn't have their eyes covered. Ah, they were eating too. That means they didn't have their mouth covered. They washed each other's feet. That means their feet weren't covered. Okay, we can start establishing things from the scriptures that would show us these things, these parts of the body are not included in the need for dress. But until you have established a part of your body as something that reasonably should not be included in the dressing part, you have no business leaving it uncovered. You're wrong. Now, who exactly is going to set this standard? Because we can all come up with our own opinions. Okay, so the Bible says we need to dress. You guys can see I'm not fully dressed here. I've got a couple parts of my body that don't have any clothes on. Now, who set this standard? Was it mine to pick? From swimsuits to Amish, who sets the standard? The girls in the swimsuits know that they are modest because they are following the accepted They're following what's been accepted. They're following what the people who've gone before them have done. And to the Amish, they not only have to dress from toe to chin, they have to look ugly when they do it too. Who makes the Amish right? Who makes the people on the beach right? Who decides? All right, we're not going to get that figured out tonight. That is going to be for next time. It's obvious who is going to decide. God's going to decide. But there is a very, very difficult path to get down from concept to finish on this story. It is one of the most disputed subjects in the Christian world. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks they're right. And the opinions vary dramatically from Amish to swimsuits. Let me tell you three groups of people that can't decide. Okay? Number one is girls. All right? Girls lack the information that is needed to make an informed decision on what modesty consists of. They lack the information that they need. They have been told 972 times per person what they need to know, but they can't get it because they've never experienced it. And in order to fully know it, you've got to have felt it. All right? So girls can't make the decision. If you are a girl sitting in this room tonight and you believe that you contain in yourself the ability to make a proper judgment on what is modest and what is not modest, I'm going to tell you right now you are mistaken. You are wrong. You need authority in your life. If you don't have it, you are out of the will of God. You need somebody who knows more than you know about the subject to tell you what modesty is and what it isn't. Okay, that is an absolute fact. Number two, lusting men cannot decide. Guys who are going around the world looking at girls and wanting everything they see cannot make a decision. I have seen guys in that position trying to come up with standards of modesty, and they fail, completely fail every time. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Verse 3 says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, let me tell you very plainly here. Guys who cannot get victory in their lives over girls, guys who are constantly lusting after girls and say, "Oh, we need to set the standard here because I'm having trouble. Oh, that girl has to dress in a box because she's too much for me. Oh, that girl can't wear that because it turns guys on." guys who are feeling that way towards girls are in sin, their hearts are full of lust, and they cannot see clearly. The Bible says they cannot see clearly. They absolutely must cast the beam out of their eye before they can see clearly enough to make an informed decision about what kind of clothes a human should wear. So lusting guys cannot decide what modesty is. The third set of people who absolutely cannot decide what modesty is the ungodly, the world. The ungodly do not accept God's standards of purity. If we do not have a sense of moral things, of what God calls right and wrong, as the basis for what we make our decisions on, we have absolutely no ability to come to a sane decision about right and wrong on any subject, period, any subject. The ungodly don't know anything. They don't know anything about moral right and wrong. I have heard from many, 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 many people. It is a standard in the world to laugh at the Christian idea of modesty because it is insanity, they think. And the guys will tell you in the world, girls don't affect me. Over and over and over and over again, you will hear that. I can go to the beach with hundreds of girls that have almost nothing on, and it doesn't do anything to me. It doesn't affect me. Now, the fact of the matter is, there is such a thing as having yourself seared towards something that is hot. Okay, but that's not the will of God for anybody. If you are going to take a hot pan out of the oven, you need a pot holder. Now, I have some bakers who like to try to take pans out of the oven without pot holders. And they say they have gotten their hands used to it. Okay? We have burnt the skin on our fingertips to the point that we have a cushion there against this heat and can touch it really quickly. Boom. You know? Now, understand that. It's a fact of life. And it is true that the more exposed you are to girls that are not modest, the less it will affect you. That is true. That's why I personally believe, we'll cover this next time or the time after if we go for more than one time. I personally believe that modesty has a very, very slight relationship to where you live and the people you live with. For example, I think Nikki dresses modestly, but if we were to go to a Muslim country, she would need to change her dress. Okay, because she would cause sparks everywhere. She probably does here anyway, but that's not because she's not dressed right, it's just because she's really cute. So it is true that you can actually sear your fingertips enough to the point that you don't feel the heat, but that's not good enough. It's not what God is looking for. And the fact of the matter is, when guys in the world say, girls, don't bother me, that is because they have already accepted as normal 90% of the sin that God wants them to get rid of. I mean, guys today have as an absolute moral standard in the United States of America that you can't do anything to a girl without her consent. Okay, that's as far as American standards go. That means you can look all you want, you can desire all you want, you can think all you want anything you want, and you can touch or do anything you want if she says yes to you. That is a pathetically low standard. That's not God's standard. You try to live God's standard a little bit, and you'll find it a little bit harder to live God's standard in company with a bunch of girls who don't dress. Now, I believe you can still succeed, but you'll find it a little harder. So those are the three sets of people who cannot tell us. They have nothing to say on the subject. They have no ability to form a correct, legitimate understanding of what modesty is. Girls, lusting men, and the world. Who then is going to decide what modesty is? Okay? It's going to be a group of spiritual people, spiritually minded people, that the Bible says he that is spiritual discerns all things. It's going to be a group of people who are not just looking out for their own personal interests. It's going to be a group of people who don't care if the girls like them or don't like them because of what they teach. It's going to be a group of godly people who simply wants godly standard in its simplicity. We don't need to add to what God says, and we don't want to take away from it. We just want decency and purity. Now, for that reason, when we come to the point of I'm going to actually draw pictures for you guys, and I'm going to show you exactly where your clothes should come to when you're dressing. Okay, I'm going to do that. But when I do that, you have to go home and you have to judge the reasons that I gave for that and see if there was any legitimacy behind what I said. Because I'm telling you right now, I cannot open this book and take you to a passage of Scripture and say, here's why you should dress this way, here's why you should dress this way, here's why this is immodest, here's why this is what modesty is. I can't do that. There is not a verse in the entire Scripture that deals with that. We have to draw those conclusions from many different facts of life, from many things that the Scripture says, and from many things that we can see with our own eyes, the way that we see humans relate together, and so on. And that is where we are going to pull some ideas together. And what I'm going to give you is my understandings and the conclusions that I draw from what I understand. I'm not going to give you the truth of God from the Word of God. I'm going to give you my understanding. My understanding is very weak on the subject. There is lots and lots and lots of things that affect the subject. And I may not be right in every single thing that I say about the subject. But we can come pretty close. We can get pretty close to the idea. And the big question at the end of the day is, excluding girls, excluding lusting men, and excluding the world from opinion, just spiritual Christians who are trying to follow God, what would they have to say about what I would have to say on the subject? Ask them if I was right or wrong. Ask them if I portrayed men as stupid humans that they aren't. Ask them the question. Ask your husband, do you guys really think this way about girls? What parts of a girl affect a guy if she is not dressed, and so on? We are not going to limit this to girls either, only because the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells guys to dress too. God didn't just clothe Eve; He clothed Adam and Eve. And the fact of the matter is, we do know, as a matter of fact, that girls do not look at guys the same way that guys look at girls. And in fact, the more naked a guy is, the less likely a girl is even going to glance in his direction. That's a pretty good fact of life, okay? So why do guys need to dress? Because the Bible says to. That's why. But there is another very serious problem here. There are thousands of stalking men all over this world who, in their pretension, whether they actually believe it or not, in their pretension, somewhere down in their heart, they say they're turned on by guys, not girls. And those guys look at men just exactly the same way men look at women. And you never know when one of those is walking past. So there are two different things that we're going to look at to try to determine what modesty is. One is just the simple fact of, unrelated to modesty rather, just why do we wear clothes, and if we wear clothes, how much clothes should be considered legitimate to be called clothes. And the other is going to be, how do the clothes we wear affect the people around us? What are we selling when we dress in certain ways? What are we advertising? What message are we giving? So that will be it for this evening. Let's dismiss.